Take your Bibles, if you would, Daniel chapter 4. We're going to finish up chapter 4 tonight, and then next week we'll start on chapter 5. But just let me give you a quick reminder. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. It was about a tree that filled the earth and reached to heavens. All the fowls of the air made their nests in this tree, and all the beasts of the fields lived underneath it. And the Bible says that the fruit of this tree fed all things. In his dream, the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven. He heard them cry aloud, "Cut down the tree, cut off all the branches, shake off all the leaves, and scatter the fruit." But this holy one and watcher that came down from heaven said, "Leave the stump with the roots in the earth, put a band of iron and brass around it." And then they sort of change the nature of what they're talking about. The tree sort of takes on human characteristics. They say, "Let it be wet with the dew." So it's sleeping out underneath the stars at night. When it awakes in the morning, it'll be wet with the dew. "Let his portion be with the beasts of the field. Let his heart be changed from a man's heart to a beast heart. And let 7 times pass over him," 7 years pass over him. And here's what the watcher and the holy one said, so that those that live on this earth know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and setteth up who he will and takes down who he will. So that was the king's dream. He called all his wise men, and earlier in Daniel, he had a dream and didn't tell them what the dream was, wanted them to tell him what the dream was and what it meant. In this particular case, he told the wise men what the dream meant. But again, as was in the first case, the wise men could not tell the king the interpretation of the dream. Finally, Daniel came in. Now again, the king in this chapter, the king called him Belshazzar because that was the name that he was given, the Babylonian name that he was given. And he told Daniel the dream and said, "Daniel, I know that the Spirit of the Most High dwelleth in you," because when he had his earlier dream, it was Daniel that told him not only what he dreamed, but what the dream meant. And so he said, "Daniel, I know that the Spirit of the Holy One dwells in you. Here's what I dreamed. Please tell me the meaning." And Daniel said, the Bible says that Daniel was astonished for an hour. He couldn't talk. He was troubled by the meaning of the dream that God revealed to him. And he said, "King, this dream is good for your enemies. It's good for them that hate you." He said, here's what Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, "You're the tree. In your dream, the tree represents you. Your kingdom covers the earth." And it did. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar ruled the earth at that particular time. And all men all men look to you for their sustenance. In other words, under your kingdom, all men are fed. You've grown. You've become strong. You are great in the earth, just like that tree was great in the earth. But here's what the watcher and the holy one, when they talked about the tree, they were talking about you. You're going to be driven from men. You're going to live with the beast of the field. You're going to eat grass like an oxen, and you're going to sleep out in the fields, and when you wake up in the morning, you are going to be wet with the dew of heaven. And that's going to last for 7 years. For 7 years, you're going to lose your mind. You're going to be given the heart. Your heart as a man is going to be taken away from you, and you're going to be given the heart of a beast. And for 7 years, you're going to live like an animal until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth those kingdoms to whosoever he will. Now, the dream, when you dream that the stump would stay, with the roots reaching down into the ground, your kingdom will be sure unto you. In other words, God will keep it for you, and it'll be returned to you again when you know that the Most High in heaven doth rule. Now, as Daniel interpreted the dream, he gave the king, Nebuchadnezzar, some counsel. He says, break off your sin and your iniquity. Show mercy to the poor. And maybe you'll lengthen the time of your tranquility. In other words, maybe you'll lengthen the time that you're ruling now, and this won't come upon you. And 12 months passed. And again, we don't know if Nebuchadnezzar, if it was just God's patience in giving him time to repent, or if he'd repented for a while. But 12 months passed, and the next thing we read about Nebuchadnezzar, he's walking through his palace in Babylon, and here's what he's saying. He's saying, is not this the great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? Now again, God had told him, he said, hey, all this is going to come upon you until you learn, until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. I mean, it was God, what God was telling Nebuchadnezzar in the dream was, hey, it was I that put you in this position. It was I that made you the king of Babylon. It was I that caused Babylon to rise up and be a world power. You didn't have anything to do with it. It was all me. And here's Nebuchadnezzar, after having been given this warning from God and given the interpretation by a man that he trusts because he had proven himself earlier, here's Nebuchadnezzar ignoring his counsel. Here's Nebuchadnezzar ignoring the warning that God had given him and walking around the kingdom saying, look what I did. Look what I built. Look at the majesty and the honor that I have brought to myself by my own efforts, by my own strength, by my own might. And the Bible says, while those very words were in his mouth, that the dream was fulfilled. He lost his mind. He was given a heart of a beast. He went to live with the beast. He ate grass like an oxen. The Bible says his hair grew like eagle feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And he lived like that for 7 years. Now, just think about that. We're at the end of a year. Okay, we're about to go into 2018. Think about living like that for 7 years. You know, sometimes God puts us through a test, and it lasts 2 or 3 months, or it lasts 6 months, or in some cases it lasts a couple of years. And we wonder why God does something like that, lets us allow to, but here's a king who has enjoyed, you know, being the king, and for 7 years. Now, again, some people might say, well, a year in the Bible is not the same as a year today. Well, when did it change? When God put the sun and the moon and the earth in the skies and said, let them be for days and nights and for seasons. I mean, I don't read anywhere else where it's changed. A year back then is the same as a year now. So for 7 years, the king lived like an animal. So that's where we ended last week, verse 33. So we start tonight in verse 34. And at the end of the days, in other words, at the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So, after 7 years, he got his mind back. Again, he had the heart or mind of a beast. And after 7 years, he got his mind back. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now, an animal eating grass looks down. And so he'd been looking down for the past 7 years. And now that he's got his mind back, he looks up to heaven. He looks to God. And he says his understanding returned. Now, it was more than just his rationality. I don't think he got his mind that he had 7 years ago. I don't think he just got that mind back. Through the experience of these past 7 years, He came to know God. I mean, look at what he said in verse 35, 34 and 35. The first thing that he did was that he blessed the Most High. I mean, if he was still a heathen unbeliever, he would have cursed God for putting him through what he had put him through. But at the end of this 7 years, living like an animal, he lifts his eyes to heaven and he blesses God. I mean, you can tell that he's learned the lesson that God wanted him to learn. I mean, he wouldn't have got his mind back if he hadn't have. And he says, God's omnipotent. He's sovereign. And the thing that he's put me through, I needed to be put through, and I praise God for it. I thank God for it. He saw the hand of God working in his life the past 7 years, and he learned his lesson. God is sovereign. I mean, he rules in heaven, but he also rules in the kingdoms of men. And notice what he says in verse 35. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Listen, if God wants something to happen, no man is going to stop it. And if God doesn't want something to happen, no man is going to make it happen. No man can stay his hand. And nobody can say unto him, what doest thou? God doesn't owe any of us an explanation. He can do anything he wants, and no man can stand before him and say, I demand an explanation to know why you're doing what you're doing. Maybe when we get to heaven, he'll explain some of the stuff to us. I sort of think when we get there, we won't care anymore. Won't make any more difference. We'll just praise him and thank him for being God. And so now this proud man, the one that had walked through the palace 7 years earlier and said, look at everything that I built, look at everything that I've done, submits and yields his will to God. He's been transformed. He's been changed. Look at verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. So he got his mind back. He got his reason back. His position as king of Babylon was restored unto him. The officials and his counselors and wise men that had gathered around him 7 years earlier gathered around him again to offer their counsel and their wisdom. And there's no indication that the kingdom of Babylon suffered in the 7 years that their king was living like an animal. God took care of the kingdom while Nebuchadnezzar was gone. And he says, added majesty, he said there, excellent majesty was added unto me. When Nebuchadnezzar gave God the glory, God gave Nebuchadnezzar more majesty than he started with. God blessed him because, again, this king had learned his lesson that the Most High in heaven rules in the kingdoms of men. Now, look at verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Now, you remember a few weeks ago when we started chapter 4 and we read the first three verses, I mentioned that the first three verses actually belong, from a chronological standpoint, at the end of the chapter. In the first three verses, let me just remind you, in the first three verses, Nebuchadnezzar was writing to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. He was writing to his kingdom, because all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth at that time, they were part of his kingdom. So he was writing to his own people. And he said, in verse 1, 2, and 3, he says, peace be multiplied unto you. Now again, what he was talking about in verses 1 through 3 occurred after he'd gone through this 7 years. He says, peace be multiplied unto you. Now he wasn't talking about peace among nations, because he ruled the earth. And he brought peace to all nations by his military might. The peace that he was talking about is having peace with God that he had found this in this past 7 years. He says, I want you to know the same peace that I know now. And again, he was talking about peace of heart that comes to a person when they make peace with God. And he says, I want to show you, he says, I want to show you the signs and wonders that God has wrought toward me. I want to tell you what God has done for me. I want to tell you how I found that peace. That's what I want to tell you. And I want you to know that God did all of it for me. He says, his signs are great. His wonders are mighty. His kingdom is everlasting and his dominion from generation to generation. He says, God rules and he's going to rule forever. His rule will never end. And so in verse 37, he adds some things to that. He praises God. He said, God, thank you. I mean, I was reminded, Bill, when you gave your testimony a moment ago, thanking God for all the goodness, but also thanking God for the tribulation that he brings. I mean, and that's what we need to do, because everything that happens in our life, the hand of God is in it. He rules. I mean, if God doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. I mean, man can't stop it. Man can't change it. God is in charge. And we need to thank him for everything. And so he recognized that what God did is just. God is a just God. And he says, he admits, I was a proud man. I mean, when he's talking that last phrase there in verse 37, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. I was one of those proudful men. I was one of those men filled with pride. I was one of those men that thought I had built this mighty kingdom and that I had done it myself and nobody could take it away from me. And God did. God showed me who truly is in charge. God showed me who truly has the power. God showed me who truly did all that. And he said, I praise that God. I thank that God. I extol that God for everything that he's done for me. You know, you might think, boy, if Nebuchadnezzar had said that when Daniel interpreted the dream, he could have avoided that 7 years of living like an animal. But sometimes, you know, men don't listen to what God tells them, and God has to show them. Now, again, you know, I think there's probably times like that in all of our lives where we get word from God, we get word from the Holy Spirit, and we ignore it, okay? I'll admit there's been times like that in my life, and God had to show me. I mean, and I'm grateful that God is patient. I'm grateful that God loves me enough not to let my stubbornness stop him working his will in my life. And I'm grateful that God, when he needed to, sent tribulation, sent hardship, sent things into my life that I needed. Now, as you're going through those times, you don't always look to heaven and say, thank you, God, thank you, God. You're praying, why, God, why? Get me out of this. Help me, help me. But when you get to the end, and again, some of the times we get to the end, we don't know what God's done. We just know it's over. I mean, maybe we know what he's done, but a lot of times we don't know what he's done. He's changed us, and we don't even know he's changed us. But he's changed us. And we need to learn, like Nebuchadnezzar learned, hey, praise God. Praise God. He knows what he's doing. His hand is in it. If he didn't want it to happen, if he didn't know that it was good for me, it wouldn't have happened. But the fact that it happened in my life means that God was in it. He had a purpose, and I praise him for accomplishing that purpose. Amen. I sort of think one day, when we're walking the street of heaven, that we might run into old Nebuchadnezzar. We might be able to hear the testimony from him himself. Amen. About how what God did in his life. Now, Don't tell me that God doesn't go to great lengths to get mankind. Don't tell me. How can you read a story like this and not think that God will do whatever it takes to get somebody? People go to hell not because God sends them. People go to hell because they ignore the signs and the wonders that God brings into their life to get their attention, to get them to come to Jesus Christ. He goes to great lengths to get all mankind. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm glad we got a God like that. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying. Ladies will be praying. I think there might be some ladies that want to pray. But please join them if you'd like to. Remember to keep those in prayer that we mentioned in prayer time. And thank you for being here tonight. Be safe as you go to your homes. And we'll see you on Sunday. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. And be dismissed.